Welcome to Hot Springs Village Inside Out, a weekly podcast where Hot Springs Village, Arkansas is the star. Join me, Randy Cantrell, and my co-host Dennis Simpson as we discuss the history, facts, people, places, events, lots more surrounding Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. Visit the website at hotspringsvillageinsideout.com. Another episode. The blue shirts. We're still
in. Another episode.
Yeah, yet another episode with the blue shirts. So, as the audience can tell, we're recording on the same day. I don't know when we're going to be releasing these. HotspringsVillageInsideOut.com. That's the website. It's also the podcast where Hot Springs Village is the star of the show, but we have co-stars. He's one of them.
I'm Dennis Simpson. Yeah. Happy to be on screen with Mr.
Randy Cantrell
from Dallas, Texas. It is a blistering 98 degrees here today, and it's about a billion percent humidity. So when you walk outside very far at all, this is one of those days we endure because in about 5 days, it's going to be in the mid to low 90s again. And not long after that, there are going to be people talking about fall, and I'm going to be grumpy because I like to feel the sting of the summer sun on my skin, you know?
Yeah, well, it's shining in your face as we speak, so it's good.
It's a sunset about, you know what? Hey, it's 7:15 on a late August evening, and it is stinking beautiful. It really is. Randy, you'll know this about me, and others will learn. You know, I'm looking out going, boy, it is beautiful. Man, I should wash those windows. Those are hard. Those are hard to get to.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's a lot of spider mucky mess. There's a bunch of spider out there. Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. Today, it's about internet and cord cutting.
Yep.
And in that area, in that order, because, well, you can't cut the cord if you don't have good internet or at least reasonable internet. You don't I think people are kind of confused, not to jump the gun here, but I think people think, oh, well, I need, you know, gigabit service if I'm going to be a cord cutter, and no, not so much.
Well, and Randy, it's funny you should say that. And by the way, I am the vice president of the computer club and have been for the last 3 years. I am that close away from the power of computer club. Well, we're actually the technology club now.
Yeah.
But
the propeller head club, huh?
Exactly. The propeller, that's exactly it. And these are great guys. These are great guys. I literally love each and every guys and gals, Renee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love each and every one of them. This is a group that is very altruistic. They are dedicated to helping other villagers with internet for free, with internet questions. We have a tech support meeting. We have a mobile users group. We have a drone meeting. I mean, it's really, really it's really a group that is dedicated. Our motto is members helping other members.
That's awesome.
Because we'll show you how to fly your own drone. We'll show you how to do photography. We'll show you how to do Facebook. We'll show you how to get your laptop set up. And I think it's every third Tuesday is the mobile users meeting. You got a problem with your phone, you got a problem with your tablet, your laptop, bring it in. We'll work on it. As a guy, it kind of puts me in a funny spot because I'm a techie who charges for that. And then these are people giving those same services away. And for the most part, you know, if you got a problem with your tablet, let me send you over to them and have them fix it for you for free. You know, and that is the HSVCC.org. great people. And I promise you, Randy, for probably we're going on more than 2 years, we've been talking about cord cutting just nonstop. Because let's face it, I'll preface the cable stuff and we'll come back to the internet stuff. For 40 years, 30 years while we've had cable, why do I have to pay for all those channels? I don't use all those channels. I don't want to pay for this channel. I just want these channels. And the industry calls that unbundling. And the reason they don't want to unbundle is because that's where they make all their money. I mean, all their money. You think QVC charges them anything? No, they get paid for that.
Yep.
So who do you think the number one vendor for cable TV companies, who do they pay the most money to? Any idea?
You mean as far as the channels?
Yeah.
The most expensive channels? No, I couldn't hazard a guess.
Number one, without a question, number one, far and away, pulling away distantly, is Disney.
Yeah.
ESPN, ESPN1, ESPN2, ESPN yeah. University, ESPN's College, ESPN Sports, Home and Garden. I can go through the whole list. ABC. Yeah,
yeah. The whole family of Disney.
Oh, yeah. It's enormous. It is enormous. and there's the Discovery is kind of a second, distant second, a very distant second. But I worked with the cable TV industry. It's been 35, 37 years ago. And at that time, the average cable bill was 55, 60 bucks, something like that. And ESPN, just the ESPN bundle and nothing else. At the time, there were just like three or four ESPN channels. And those were like $8 and $9 a piece for mm-hmm. every subscriber. Now, HBO or Showtime or Cinemax might have been a couple of bucks and they charged you 10. Mm-hmm. But who would say we offer cable TV service and you don't offer ESPN?
Yeah, okay. Well, you have to.
Kind of the fundamental of all
yep.
of it.
Yep.
So we've talked for a minute about that. Let's come back to internet for a second. I had a lady, not an exaggeration, had a lady here in the village. We were talking about how you have to have internet before you can, you know, have cord cutting. And the lady, sweet lady, very kind lady. And she leaned in and she said, "Dennis, can I see the cloud from my house?" And because Randy, there's a little bit of smart aleck in here. I said, "I don't know. Where do you live?"
More than a little bit in both of us. But
there may be a little bit. I said more, possibly more. But I said, "I don't know. Where do you live?" And we all had a good chuckle and laugh. And you know, the internet in the village has been a discussion, and I've done several shows about this. But the bottom line is, take a stab, Randy. If you were going to watch a Netflix movie on an HD TV, 1920, 1080, just a regular HD's channel, watching one movie at a time in your house, how much data do you think that would take? Yeah. Yeah. So tell me this, how much internet do you have at your house right now, Randy, in Dallas? 400, 500?
500. Speed?
500. Yeah.
500. Yeah. 500 unlimited data.
So this is 500 megs. I'm speaking to you on a 400 meg channel. I used to use a 50, which was from AT&T, which worked fine. The U-verse was really good. Very, very stable service. It takes 1.5 megs to watch an HD movie on Netflix. So when people have a 50 meg service or a 30 meg service or a 20 meg service, you can still watch a half a dozen at a time. Easy, easy. Now, if you're computer's doing a backup in the middle of the night and something like that, and there's always, you know, complications.
Or if Junior's in the room next door gaming.
Exactly. And it's funny you bring that up. Junior gaming does not use that much data, but he wants it to be instantaneous, or else it's his fault somebody didn't shoot or fire or whatever. But whereas for you, I mean, the data you're watching in HD on Netflix, that data is typically 5 to 8 seconds old. So there could be a 2 to 3 second interruption. You wouldn't even know it. Well, let's talk about the different kinds of internet in the village. And so in Dallas, you've got cable. Do y'all have U-verse?
There's cable. There's fiber. I don't know. Does anybody do DSL anymore?
Well, that's kind of what AT&T has let go of DSL, because their maximum configuration there was like 6 by 1. So 6 megs down. And you can do that. I actually have phone systems that run on 6 megs.
Yeah. Most everybody most everybody in town is going to be cable or fiber. Mm-hmm. Now I get out in some rural areas. There's some satellite stuff, you know, there are some rural areas outside HughesNet, that kind of stuff, you know, is around.
Well, and here's what's happening in the village. One of the thoughts that people say was, we only have those two providers. We've got Suddenlink and AT&T. Well, typically, if you can get an AT&T connection, you can get AT&T U-verse, which is surprisingly good service. But based on how far you are from the repeater, it determines what your speed is. Do you have 25 megs? You have 50 megs? You have 100 megs? But that's about the limit. That's about as much as you're ever going to get from AT&T U-verse. And it's a good product. It's not great. But cable has the ability to go, and we're going to talk metric terms here, from 100 to 250 to 400 to 500 to a gig, which is 1,000 megs a second. And I've seen people, just a complaint here, I've seen people that have had 5-year-old routers, 8-year-old routers, and they're getting 400 megs, and the guy comes out and he puts a meter on it, he tests it, and they're getting 400 megs, and they're feeding it through a 5 or 10 year old router, and that router is not able to feed that out to the house. Yeah, it's the very bottleneck. And then people end up calling, cussing the cable company, or even better, hot dog, we're just going to go ahead and get a gig. We're going to jump it up. Yeah. So, and you're still going to be backfeeding it through that old equipment that won't support it. That's a very serious consideration. We did a survey with the Technology Club, and the Technology Club determined we had 13 internet providers in Hot Springs Village. 13. So there's two on the ground that we talked about, terrestrial. There's there was 8 HughesNets or Blue Sky or things that. Then there was a guy who was beaming Wi-Fi into the village for a couple of, there were two guys that did that, wireless, et cetera, and a couple others. And then you can get it off the cell towers, which that's the other way to get it. And the topography of the village, as you know, Randy, is up and down. It's nothing flat. So what works for somebody might not work for somebody else. You know, for example, Randy, what do you need in Dallas? What's your big deal?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, your speed is an important thing, but if you drop signal every few minutes, it would be a tough thing to do your job, right?
Yeah, well, I can't. I mean, this platform that we are on is Zoom. Zoom is a video conferencing platform, and I pretty much conduct business. Just the way that you and I are doing this every day. So I need it to be reliable. You know, if the video got choppy on somebody's end, that wouldn't be a game breaker. But the audio's got to be rock solid. We got to be able to hear each other. But again, this platform, I don't know what the bandwidth usage is on this, but it's not overly taxing. It doesn't seem to me. Today I've had internationals, and nearly every week I'm going to do multiple international, you know, had a 1 hour session with somebody that was in Switzerland, and it was without a hitch. So yeah, I need the speed to be there. Now, obviously as a podcaster and stuff, I'm uploading things,
which is a lot different that I would
venture to guess the average bear is not uploading. Yes, you may upload some photographs to the cloud, to some kind of a file server that you can share with your family. You might upload some movies and things like that you shoot. Mm-hmm. But I'm uploading a number of big files every day. So I need that upload speed as well.
Well, and let me cut to the chase here. The vast majority of home users really want to bring that data in. And the only time they really send anything out is, like you say, if they upload, which is rare. But most times it's email going out or little bitty messages, or you post something in Facebook or whatever. So
I would guess that most people are uploading from a mobile device.
A lot of times they are.
And so that's going to be as much as anything. Well, at home, they could be on a Wi-Fi.
They could be on the Wi-Fi. But a lot of times people will say, well, why is it 400 by 100? Why is it not 400 by 400? Because you wouldn't use it. Yeah. I mean, just unless it's like you and me, we're doing video production and stuff like that all the time and putting it up on the cloud for other people to see. That's very, very, very rare. Well, let's talk about a couple of the new interlopers. The fine folks at SpaceX set a record the other day. They put 248 satellites in orbit in one pull. And I love the way they did this. You know, they shoot the satellites up and they're about the size of a softball. The objective is they're going to have around 40,000 of these things,
And you before go, well, they get to their orbit, they're really fascinating to watch, because here in Dallas, we have seen, you can see them every now and again. It's like a snake trail. If you see at night, they're all illuminated and you see them and they're making their way, you know, of course they're going around and they make an orbit and they continue to just climb higher and higher. But when we first saw them, it's like, what in the world is that? You know,
why is there a snake in the sky?
Had to get online and realize that SpaceX had launched, you know, and they're strung together before they separate.
Exactly.
Until they get to their orbit. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Well, and part of what they said that they listed 241 of them, they lifted 241 at a time, and not every one of them needs to go in that same orbit. So they actually have tugs that will fire from the missile and go out to other places and go on another trajectory and pull other things. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Let's come to the, you know, let's do the 5 mile high view for a moment. Right. And that is that we're familiar with satellite internet or internet satellite, and that's at 22,500 miles out. That's, you know, a long way out. But every time it moves with the Earth all the way across as you go across the sky, well, that's cool. Well, the difference with the LEO, the low Earth orbit satellites, which are around 200 to 250 miles out, which is still a pretty good deal, but, you know, a tenth, a hundredth of what the other satellites are. But number one, the problem people have with HughesNet and some of these others is that the delay time between when you hit the button, the ping time and the response time is horrible. Well, it's not so bad if you've got satellite that's 100th of the time closer. Well, it's a lot better. And there's a whole lot of them. The only downside is that they're not geosynchronous. So about every 8 to 11 minutes, you're catching a different satellite and a different satellite. And you're like, well, hang on, I had an internet. So they're running right now what they call better than beta, which is where they have several thousand satellites up. I think there are a little over 5,000 satellites right now, about 10% or roughly of what they're trying to do. At this point, 640 acres a square mile, they can only have 11 customers inside that square at a time. So it's not exactly like they're a cable alternative at this moment, and they may never be. The report this last week said they could host up to 30 million users at a time was the eventual, but that's in the entire North American hemisphere. You know, that's in the North American zone. So at this time,
and they're catering to the more rural, areas. Yeah. And you could think that, well, Hot Springs Village is a rural area. No.
Yeah, not so much. Well, I'll tell you what, here's the areas they're offering right now. They say they're going to be offering service in the fall. The receiver is about $4.99. The service is about $100 a month, which is what people are kind of used to. And then it's right now it's about 100 megs, and it is pretty much symmetrical. It's 100 megs up, 100 megs down. People are very pleased with it overall, except sometimes the trees can get in the way. Do we have? Oh, there's trees here.
Yeah.
Who knew? Right.
Yeah, you've got to have a clear shot to the sky.
Yeah. Sure. And that little antenna actually has motors inside of it that reverse and find the satellite and all that. So it's and you say, well, Dennis, maybe I've got a problem with Mr. SpaceX. What's his Tesla? Elon Musk. Well, maybe you could just wait for Mr. Jeff Bezos to come up with his program, which Amazon is lifting another program just like this that will be putting another 40,000 satellites into orbit. Oh, but wait. Then there's the European Union. They're doing the same thing too. So there will be literally 100,000 satellites in space, just little bitty low Earth orbits, and they don't last forever. They're going to be a couple of years, maybe 3 years at the most. But the problem I foresee is that, okay, Randy, it's a beautiful night. I'm going to take a moonshot and I'm going to take a, wait for that satellite to go by. Okay. Now, it's going to be an issue. It really is. There's no question. It's going to be an issue.
But don't you think that's where it's headed? That wireless low Earth orbit stuff or no?
I think I've told people here in the village, if there's a cable TV provider running outside your door right now, you're not going to beat that speed, that price, and that availability for probably the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, right now, Starlink or the Starlink guys, they have actually won a contract to provide internet right out there inside the national forest, because that's an underserved area. The Inuit Alaskans, some of the Canadians, right? Some of the Canadian Indians and some super remote places, extreme West Texas, they're providing service out there. And then they're subsidized to be here in the village here in the Washita National Forest. And it just dawned on me, some of the footprint areas that they're providing, those areas don't have power. So you're off the grid and we're providing internet. So you're going to have a solar panel. Anyway,
that'll be interesting.
It will be. And the bottom line is if that's the only way you can get it with a satellite and a satellite and with a solar panel, you'll be grateful for it.
So I move into the village, and depending on where I live in the village, my availability is going to be Suddenlink or AT&T, or do they cross over?
Or, yeah, they cross over tremendously. Yeah.
Okay.
Or, except in the Far East End, they don't have as much cable in the Far East End. They've got a lot of AT&T, but not much cable. Or you can get it off the air from your cell tower. We're going to get the low-end version of 5G LTE, 4G LTE Max, which will be about, you should be able to get up to about 450 megs off your cell phone. So think of that. I mean,
and what would that, and so let's talk about the roughly the dollar investment. This is subject to change because as we hit the record button, which is in August of 2021, these are subject to change. But so this 5G cell stuff, what am I looking at?
Well, typically to add another device is going to be $20 per month to an unlimited program, provided you have an unlimited program. Okay. Yep. But it's about $20 a month to add it to an unlimited program. And then whatever the device is, usually it's $60 to $80 for a wireless modem. And you say, well, I could do that with my phone. You know, I could make my phone a hotspot. And you can. That's exactly correct. Except your phone is a camera. It's a GPS. It's a screen. It's all these other things. The Wi-Fi modem is one thing. It's an antenna that gets the signal from the tower and it turns it around and beams it to your room.
And nothing I'm looking else. At what kind of speeds.
We've been getting over 100. That's not uncommon. One of our units here, we switched a couple of other units to cable here. We've got one of our units here that rock solid every month. It's 40 megs. And if you think about it, it cost me 20 megs bucks to have internet at that facility.
Well, I'm not going to beat that price hardly.
No, no, you're really not. Well, as long as you're on an unlimited plan, if you're not on an unlimited plan, you know. But let's come back to that. What does that Wi-Fi modem supply? Well, in this case, it hits a Roku. It could be an Amazon Stick. It could be an Apple TV. It could be a whatever. But I tend to like the Roku. They have a lot of variety. They're pretty quick little stick. I think it looked like science fiction about 2 or 3 years ago when you would hold up and press the button and say, okay, Roku,
right.
You know, play you whatever. Know, Carol Burnett or whatever, you know. Yeah. But that's become kind of passé. That's just kind of expected these days, right. You know. Now, Randy, what TV channels do you watch much of? I know you watch hockey.
Yeah, I watch hockey. I am a YouTube TV subscriber, so that's my streaming of choice. And I've had a couple of others before that. Mm-hmm. I still just think it's the most bang for the buck. But now when I started it, to be fair, you mentioned Disney when we started recording. And, you know, the Disney Plus, we're seeing all these pluses. And so things are moving more now from that bundle to an a la carte. Meaning, if you want it, pay for it. If you don't want it, don't pay for it. So I know there are a number of people that, the Disney family of things. So if I can get Disney Plus and that gives me certain things that I most love, then I'll subscribe to that and I'll ditch everything else. Most everybody, at least here, and I suspect this is probably true around the country, if you're an Amazon Prime member, mm-hmm. and you got Amazon Prime, that's built in. There's a ton of content there. So I've got that. I've got the $5 a month Hulu plan. That's with ads, not live TV, but Handmaid's Tale, for instance. I mean, there's a number of programs. That's the other thing is there's these programs that are exclusive to these platforms.
Well, let me interject just for a second on the Disney Plus you were talking about. A lot of people go, I don't want to sit and watch Disney, you know, cartoons all day. This is the Star Wars franchise. This is Marvel Comics.
The Mandalorian
that people are nuts about, which if you don't know, it's a spinoff of the Star Wars franchise, which people are nuts about. I mean, really great nuts about.
Yeah.
But you touched on something. I want you to describe it to me for a moment. You said you had YouTube TV. Distinguish that between YouTube and YouTube TV and what you get for YouTube TV.
Yeah, YouTube TV is, I don't know how many channels they're up to now. It's a boatload of channels. It's live TV.
So
YouTube, our program is on YouTube. YouTube is, you know, filled with all kinds of content. Most of it recorded. Some of it is live streaming, but you're not going to find your local ABC, your local CBS, your ESPN. You're not going to
YouTube
on YouTube,
but on YouTube TV,
you will find it on YouTube TV.
Is it local to every location?
Yes.
So, I mean, you're going to get Dallas local news. I'm going to get Little Rock local news.
Correct.
And it has a cloud DVR.
It has an unlimited DVR. You can record as many channels. You can call things up. you know, on demand. So if, for instance, you want to watch Seinfeld, you can pull up, you're going to be able to pull up Seinfeld. You can record programs as they come out, and it will store those. It's unlimited. There is a time limit. I think it keeps them for 5 months. Don't quote me on that, but it keeps them for plenty of long enough time for you to watch those things. You can rewind. You can hit pause on live TV. I mean, it's got some terrific features. Oh, it's great. It's great. And no offense to DirecTV. I was a long time. I paid boatloads of money to DirecTV, but I don't have, as long as I got power and internet, I don't have to worry about, I mean, come on, we are in thunderstorm and tornado country.
It seems to be an issue.
I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about it. The other good thing is, as a cord cutter, you can pause your subscription. So if, I don't know, if perchance you wanted to cancel, not really cancel, but pause a subscription, you can pause all your you can pause a subscription to, I don't know of a service that you can't pause. Do you?
No, you can, I'm not aware
you can,
of any.
You can pause it and stop your billing. Now, it depends on the billing cycle. You know, you can't turn it off for a day.
Right.
You know, it's a month at a time kind of a thing. But like, I have Hulu. I don't have the live. It's $5 a month, give or take.
Yeah.
There are commercials. But if I look at it and go, you know, I'm not watching anything, I'm going to save that $5 for the next 2 or 3 months and wait until the next season of whatever show comes out. Yeah. I can do that. I can do it with YouTube TV. The great thing for me is when I come over to the Village five or six times a year, I take my stick, my Roku stick, which has all of my subscriptions already stored in it. It's like a little USB device. And as long as the host has any kind of a smart TV that's got, you know, an HDMI,
and
everybody does, I can plug it in. All I have to do is set up the internet wireless password that hosts, Airbnb hosts provide, and I'm up and running, and now I could watch the Dallas Stars from there, game that wouldn't be televised in that area otherwise. So it's really cool.
Well, you touched on something I wanted to ask a minute ago. You were saying you could pause it. I'm like, well, why would you pause it if you can take it with you, which is what you were just saying. You know,
You can pause it. You can pause a subscription, but you can also pause a live TV show. Like if I'm watching a show and it's like, okay, I get a phone call, I can just grab my little Roku, hit the pause button, and the show stops. So two different kinds of pauses. I can pause the entire subscription, save the money. I can pause a live TV program as well.
Well, you know, a lot of people in the Village will travel for months on end.
Yep.
You know, and it bothers them that, well, I'm paying for cable at home, and then I got to take something with me to get internet, and I got to take something with me to get cable again. I encourage people to get the little Wi-Fi modem, because you can take the Wi-Fi modem with you any trailer in North America, anywhere you got cell phone signal.
Yeah.
And then take your Roku stick with you, and everything you've got at home, you've got with you. And it's not sitting at home serving no purpose.
That's right.
It's here with you.
That's right. Know?
By the way, one of the things that we do at the computer club that I think is be helpful for people are always asked, well, how do I know what would be right for me? You mentioned Hulu, which has a lot of times, if you like to watch live TV, but you don't want to pay for that, Hulu has a lot of things the next day, don't they?
They do.
Okay. So they're basically like Dancing with the Stars on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday
or whatever.
But that said, there's a different service basically for different needs and different people, and a different price budget. We encourage people, write down what you watch.
Yep.
You know, I want to watch hockey. I want to watch Formula One. I want to watch The Bachelor. I want to watch, you know, whatever it is. And then look for a package that suits what you need. And then it can be pretty simple. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think YouTube TV is around $65 a month.
I think that's right. Yeah. That sounds right. And there is a link, I'll put it in the show notes, but there is a website that you can go in and you can plug in the channels that you watch, and it gives you this comparison of the available services that you could get so that you can do kind of a comparison. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, first things first, you got to figure out, okay, what do we mostly watch? You know, if you watch HGTV and you love that. If you watch A&E, if you watch ID Discovery, I mean, you can buy the Discovery. I don't, because I have it on YouTube, but I know a lot of people, I just want the Discovery. I just want the Discovery streaming package, which you can get directly from them.
Well, and talk about the price. Discovery with commercials is $4.99. Without commercials is $6.99.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, that's what we all want. I mean, yeah, sometimes right. I want commercials. Well, is it worth $2 a month? Well, heck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Diane and I sit and we will binge watch, you know, House Hunters International or something that's like right. this on a regular occasion. And, you know, we have a big projector here. And so we've got AT&T UVerse on one side, and then we've got our little Fire Stick on the other side. And less every day I use the AT&T, and more I use that Fire Stick. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity and wonderful option that's a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah, I think the challenge for a lot of us is there's just so many options. Okay, so I can get that service and this other. For instance, Ted Lasso is a really popular show on Apple TV. Hmm. I've never seen an episode, but it gets a whole lot of buzz. It's exclusive to Apple TV. So if you're a Ted Lasso fan, you're going to have to get Apple TV because it's the only place it's available.
With Jennifer Aniston on Apple TV too? It's like the morning show or something.
Sounds right.
Because I remember they were all the rave about Jennifer Aniston on TV again because she's just been doing movies for the last 20 years or whatever.
Well, it's kind of like Stars. Who subscribes to Stars? Well, if you're a fan of Outlander or your wife is fan of Outlander, guess who has the exclusive on Outlander? Stars.
Stars.
Yeah. Right. Now, the good thing is, so you can subscribe to Stars for some little monthly amount. When Outlander comes out, binge watch it, then pause your subscription. I mean, it's what literally it is. You can manage it that way. It might seem a little bit cumbersome, but listen, I'm sure there's a ton of people listening to us that are on fixed incomes and are looking for ways to save a buck. And it certainly is a way that you can do it. If you can get really in touch, I think a lot of us may just mindlessly watch stuff, but if you sit down and you give it some thought and you think, man, in the last 30 days, what have we watched? And you realize, you know, we've watched A&E and we've watched HGTV and maybe a little bit of live sports. Okay, well, good to know. Now you can go shopping for a solution that will fit that bill.
Well, to be frank about it, I want to cover something here real quick. YouTube TV, again, the distinction, YouTube is what we're on right now, and YouTube TV is basically a cable substitution service. But YouTube TV is $65. Well, the fine folks at AT&T have figured out that there's a war on for these cable cutting things. And my regular TV, before you pay for the DVRs, is about $45 a month. Okay. Well, they know there's a programming battle going on here, but there's one thing that YouTube TV offers that doesn't come with the other cable TV services. And that is it comes with 6 different subscriptions. So you can have that in 3 in your house and you can have them 3 in your kid's house. And I mean, you don't have to spend all 6 subscriptions. You can have one in your trailer. You can have one in your vacation house. You can have whatever. So the YouTube TV can be, for the right people, it can be a great solution.
Oh yeah, it's terrific, and you're probably not going to find a service that has as many features. But Google owns YouTube, so there's that.
Well, let me ask you real quick: have you had any problem with quality of with the or picture quality or any problem?
I've had 0, and I was a fanatic coming out of the consumer electronics business for years, and even at one point for many years being a DirecTV dealer back in the day. That was my first reluctance. I thought, yeah, I mean, streaming, is that quality going to be? Oh, yeah. It's there. The technology is there. The reliability is there. The buffering that people talk about, you know, where you kind of get some kind of a spinning icon. You can see in forums and you can hear people complain in various parts of the country. All I can speak of is here in DFW and in my time there in the village. unless I'm staying at a host where they've got pretty wonky internet anyway. And frankly, I've only had one host there and it's in a remote area, and I'm happy to forego the internet because I kind of like the secluded area.
Yeah.
But this host is in a really remote area of the village that I love, but yeah, you gotta sacrifice something.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to follow up here and kind of finish up our thoughts. And that is, you know, it can be the right solution. It certainly can. It's not the solution for everybody. It's a little more complicated. You have to be able to kind of navigate. If you have trouble navigating the apps on your cell phone, you probably may not be happy with a Roku or an Amazon Fire. Is that
Takes some getting used to. Getting used to. If you are used to being able to punch in the numbers on your remote and go directly to that channel, that is not available. You have to still scroll through, and you got to figure out the menus, and the interfaces are all different, and that's to each his own. You get used to the interfaces. They're getting a little more uniform than they used to be.
Yeah.
But Prime is a different interface than Netflix, which is a different interface than YouTube TV, which is different again from Hulu and all the rest. And so it does, that takes some getting used to. There's no question.
Well, I would also mention, and we talked about this in the technology club, if you put the numbers together, I saw the numbers this year, which they're slowing down because so many people have left cable. There was like 2.1 million that left this year so far to date till like August. But in the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, that number is coming close to 30 million people who have left.
It's a mass exodus.
It is a mass exodus. And the problem is, and it's not because cable doesn't offer a good solution or UVerse doesn't offer a good solution, they will not unbundle the stinking channels.
Right. So. Is there a place, before we say goodnight, is there a place in the village where there just isn't a really good higher speed solution?
It's funny you should ask that. Right back over my shoulder in Cortez. Cortez has great cable, and there are a few places that don't have cable, but Cortez is in a little bowl of sorts. So there's a peripheral rim around that outside bowl that has good signal that they can get from a cell tower. So if you can't get a cable in that area, it can be very hard to get a good cell signal in that area. So there's just not a good backup. I would say that virtually every place, and I'm saying 99% of the place in the village, everybody has good internet. There may be some places where you may not have another option, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'll say this again and again about Suddenlink. Suddenlink has an exceptional service that is very stable, but when you do need tech support, oh dear Lord above, it can be an issue.
I wonder if there's been much of an increase inside the village as far as remote work during this pandemic.
Oh, it's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. We had 2.5 years before the pandemic, or 2.5 years ago before the pandemic, we had a realtor that told a lady that that she could not get high-speed internet in the village. So the lady turned down a $400,000 house, to which I said, I will give free seminars to show you how to get internet off the cell towers. And to which they were like, what? What do you, cell towers? How would you know? It's not in the ground, so we don't have internet. I'm like, oh, look up, people, you know,
right.
Which is more true today than it even was then.
Yeah. All right. We will put links to the computer club and all that stuff. I hope you found it helpful. I know it kind of felt like we were all over the place, but it's kind of like the internet. The internet is everywhere. It's all over the place. HSVinsideout.com is the website. We appreciate you subscribing. I'm going to hawk the Facebook group. Can I do that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're close to a magical number, Randy. What's that magical number?
1,000.
Who thought? How many days?
1,000. As we hit the record button, we are 83 days old. We have celebrated our 83rd day birthday.
Are we supposed to be even walking yet? I don't think we're talking.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's early. We appreciate you, the audience. Subscribe to the podcast any way that you choose. Let's hawk the Facebook group though. And if you go to the website, hsvinsideout.com, you will see in the upper right hand, you will see the Facebook icon. Click that. That's all you got to do. You click that. Well, assuming you got a Facebook account, and I'm sure you do. And you're in the group. That's all it takes. And
you'll get notifications.
We'll let you stay there.
get notifications when we put stuff up.
Yep.
And typically our episodes are coming out when?
Tuesday and Friday, but we throw you a curveball every now and again, and we'll even give you an extra one sometimes.
Free of charge.
Yeah, no extra charge. All right. Say goodnight, Dennis.
Good night, Dennis. And honestly, Randy, it's been a pleasure again. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Hot Springs Village Inside Out.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Hot Springs Village Inside Out, a podcast where Hot Springs Village, Arkansas is the star. Please subscribe to the podcast. You can do that by visiting our website, hsvinsideout.com, and tell a friend.